Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to catch another edition of Our Drift. Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
Hello there.
Glad to see you come in tonight, dude.
Hey, my pleasure.
Yeah, I was thinking it was going to be dark and morose in here today, talking about the State of the Union, the debate, and everything else. And here you are bringing a lighted smile.
Ah, with my chocolatey coffee teeth.
Mr. Brown Tooth, what's going on? Okay, well, let's get right into it. We got a lot to cover between the debate and State of the Union and this Iran stuff with the hostages and the sailors. I don't even want to go there. I can feel my blood pressure just going up as I think about those photos. But let's take care of a little business first. The Wellbridge Group for Recovery. If you're specializing, they specialize in post-acute rehabilitation and nursing care. So if you're looking for that kind of rehab, make sure you get a hold of the Wellbridge Group, and you can contact them. Their website is www.thewellbridgegroup.com, or you can call them in Novi, 248-662-2300. Or Brighton, 517-947-4400. Their centers are designed to provide a bridge to recovery and wellness. So get hold of the Wellbridge Group. Again, that's thewellbridgegroup.com. Okay. Well, I managed to get through that. Isn't that amazing? So why don't we start with, we just had the breaking news, right? All of a sudden we have a bunch of Iranian hostages, as we've called them. They're people that have been imprisoned in Iran, let loose in the last few hours. And the timing couldn't be stranger, right? We're about ready to let the Iranians off the hook for sanctions and give them $150 billion in money.
They win, we lose.
They win, we lose. And, well, we got our hostages, right? The Abed, whatever his name is, out of Flint here, the pastor. He's going to get let loose.
Who should have never been taken in the first place.
Yeah. And the WAPO reporter also getting cut loose.
And I believe seven Iranian prisoners were cut loose. Mm-hmm. It's an exchange. In the Middle East especially, and with the Iranians, anytime they want something, they just take hostages.
Yeah.
They've been doing it ever since 1979.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and we haven't heard yet what's involved in a swap. I'm sure it's not a freebie. This is not something they're doing just out of the goodness of their hearts because sanctions are coming off. I'm sure they're getting even more than the sanctions.
Well, they're seven of their people is part of it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure are guilty as hell.
Yeah, they're getting them back, and I'm betting there's probably dollars to donuts. There's probably some money somewhere along the line as well.
Dollars to falafels.
And falafel. How about some shawarma? Can we get some shawarma in here? Man, there you go. We'll
How about the doggy stew? My birthday.
Dogs are dirty. They don't eat dog, do they? You got to go to the Far East for that, dude.
But Kim Jong-un and birthday party.
Meat's meat and a man's got to eat.
That's a fly lice and a doggy stew.
Well,
you're crazy. You're crazy.
I love that, man. That's awesome. All right, so let's get into talk about a little the State of the Union speech. I was going to pull up a whole bunch of audio clips for that, and I said, nah, the hell with it. I can't listen to that one more time.
I'm with you.
So, but the hypocrisy of Barack, the one that really stood out was when he said he regrets that he has such rhetoric between the parties. And I thought to myself, you're the one who amped it up for 7.5 years, brother. What the heck?
Well, see, that's okay.
Yeah,
you know, if they amp it up, then it's fine.
I turned it off shortly thereafter. I couldn't take any more. I literally was just dying. I couldn't stand listening to any more of his. It was a total lie, the whole thing. You know, like the whole world is flowers and rainbows, you know, unicorns jumping and dancing around Congress, you know?
Well, you know, I'm not going to excuse Barack Obama for 1 second on that point. But to me, doesn't matter who the president is, which party, it's always that way. It's this rah, rah, rah. Everyone's standing up and cheering every sound. It's like a laugh track on the Big Bang Theory. Why are you people laughing?
Yeah.
The State of the Union. Why are you cheering?
Yeah,
it's a wish list of nothing. It's a rah 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 this and that. It's stupid.
Yeah, and especially in his case, because you've accomplished nothing. You windbag.
Yeah,
you know, you've accomplished absolutely nothing. And now
people. Well, he's accomplished a lot.
Yeah, in the wrong direction. Yeah. I did laugh because a lot of people were saying, "Oh, thank goodness it's his last." You know, and then Glenn Beck put the big cloud over my head this week when he said it may not be his last because he may pull a Jimmy Carter and do next year's State of the Union early before the next president takes office.
Before January 20th?
Yes, because Jimmy Carter did it, I guess, back in the day. Mm. And Barack Obama's State of the Unions have always been early February, late January. And this year they moved it up to whatever the 12th or whatever that day was.
See, here's the thing. To say that Jimmy Carter did it before he left office, it could have just been a bad skit on Saturday Night Live you remember with Dan Aykroyd. Maybe it was really Saturday Night Live and not Jimmy Carter.
No, it really
it
was.
It really was.
Yeah, it really was. Jimmy Carter did it. So that the precedent is set. It's not like it hasn't been done before. But it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, Barack Obama is so vain. Why wouldn't he try to squeak one more? Ah, especially if it's a Republican. You know what I mean? I'm going to stick it in. And would that keep the Republican president from coming and saying, I'm just going to do another one. I'm going to do my own State of the Union. What do you think about that, Barack?
And where it would be really bad if Barack does this is at the end of his rah-rah speech about how great he is and all the accomplishments, he has Michelle with him and they make out like Al Gore and Tripper. Or Tipper, not Tripper. I'm thinking of Jack Tripper on Three's Company. Tipper, damn it.
That's a visualization I just don't want to see.
He says, we did it, baby.
He
does the Jackie Gleason. Baby, you're the greatest. And they start making out. Close out the scene.
All right, so let's jump into, what we do, and I should have said, I always forget to do this right at the beginning of the show, but what we do is go over the news of the week. I put on the Daily Drift, and if you're not going to thedailydrift.com, make sure you are, www.thedailydrift.com. And you can email me comments, gary@thedailydrift.com, or if you want to call into the show today, 734-822-1600. Your comments are as always welcome because it's your show as well as ours.
That's right. Where's our cadre of Joe from Wyandotte, Mike from Ann Arbor?
Yeah, I'm sure they're calling.
Jenny from Brownstown, you know, our
Oh, speaking our core. Of.
And first times are welcome too.
Yes.
Go
absolutely.
To the front of the line.
Yeah, actually, and I had an email from a few weeks back when Mike was on, I think it might have been on your guys' show.
When
you were here.
Yeah.
Talking about guns. And I had an email from a guy who said, hey, does Mike have any suggestions about storing guns underground long term? And I thought, okay, yeah, maybe. So, Mike, if you're out there, if you got suggestions, email them to me. I don't know that we should be divulging everything we need to know on the air, but oddly enough, it happens, you know. So
Croatians are ready.
Storing my guns underground, ready for the confiscation police.
That's what the IRA did.
Yeah, well, you got to do what you got to do. It could be coming.
Not that I support the IRA people. I'm not saying that.
Yeah, don't get on the wrong side of the IRA, my man. I mean,
I'm not on their side. I don't know. I know nothing.
I didn't celebrate St. Paddy's Day for many, many years. Through college and after college because I was upset about all the stuff going on in Ireland.
Yeah.
And then things kind of got better, which, you know, it is. When you think about, because I watched a movie called 71.
Yes!
Did you see that?
I saw that.
That was a great movie, and it brings back to you that, you know what,
as
Christians and Catholics, we did some pretty nasty things, you know, over religion in Ireland and the UK as well. So it's, you know, terrorism can come just about anywhere.
You know, Gary, I saw that. I wanted a seat at the State Theater in Ann Arbor, and then it was taken off before I could get up there. So I went to my public library and requested it because they didn't have it. And they actually took my suggestion and bought it.
Yeah.
And so I was the first one to see it from the library. And after I returned it, I saw like 12 people had signed up to see it. That is one of the most intense. It's a foreign film,
yep.
Obviously. But that is one of the most intense, powerful films I've seen in a while.
Yeah.
That was a great film, especially if you like foreign films. Everybody see it. 71.
Yeah. Yeah, and when
about the troubles in Ireland.
Yeah, when we say foreign film, it's filmed obviously in England, but it's got no subtitles. It's all English. It's Irish and English guys. So if you can get past the brogue and the accents, you're fine.
Well, you know what? That's what I'm going to see it again. I'm going to put the closed caption on it because some of the thick accent stuff I missed. I couldn't really tell what they were saying.
Right.
It was far and few between, but I still felt cheated that I didn't fully capture,
right.
you know, the dialogue all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, great movie. Thrilling. You know, intense. Kind of kept you, yeah, very intense. Yeah, great movie. So if 71 is the name of the movie, just that, 71, 71.
Yeah, from 1971, mm-hmm. when I can't remember which bombing it was, but that's what it's yep. what it's titled after.
Yeah, great, great movie. So that's, there you go. That's our movie review.
For yeah.
Well, see, we don't have to do politics all the time, do we?
We just run with it.
Just political movies.
And we have no script or anything. We have a basic idea here, and then we usually don't follow it.
All right, so let's take a break, Derek, and when we come back...
Not script, we have an outline.
Outline. Yeah. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the sailors being abducted by Iran.
Hey, Taylor.
If that was the case. And then we'll get on to the debate and some of the other things as well. So we'll see you on the other side.
America may have issues. Someone once said of our country that we have tall buildings but short tempers, wide freeways but narrow viewpoints. We spend more but have less. We buy more but enjoy less. We have bigger houses but smaller families, more conveniences but less time. We drink too much, smoke too much, spend too recklessly, laugh too little, drive too fast, get too angry, stay up too late, get up too tired, read too little, watch TV too much, and pray too seldom. We talk too much, love too seldom, and hate too often. We've done larger things, but not better things. We've cleaned up the air, but polluted the soul. We've conquered the atom, but not our prejudice. We build more computers to hold more information, to produce more copies than ever, but we communicate less and less. We say, God bless America, yet there are things we can do to bless America. We can be good citizens, go to church, vote, be patriotic, salute the flag, sing the national anthem, show courtesy to all people, pay our taxes, respect the law, thank a police officer, and please don't park in handicapped parking places when you're not handicapped. I am Pastor Richard Dietering, bringing you a moment of clarity.
To succeed in today's business environment, your business needs to be seen by as many customers as possible. The Current newspaper serves Washtenaw, Oakland, and Livingston counties. Advertising in The Current is the best way to get your money's worth out of your print media budget because The Current has a unique venue for local content, common sense, and your business message. Getting your business message into thousands of homes utilizing The Current newspaper for mere pennies apiece is the best way to do that. And your ad is also seen online for free. Call Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current, at 734-629-6010. That's 734-629-6010. Or go to currentonline.com. That's CourantOnline.com. Grow your business in print and online with The Current newspaper.
What kind of a country turns its tax collectors into secret police? And what do you call a government that values its own survival above the rights of its people? A country where leaders act like mob bosses, attacking citizens with rules and restrictions they fear they'll never have the power to overcome. Where the content of your prayers is between you, your God, and your government. Our nation of laws is becoming a nation of corruption, where whoever has the power throws their punches while they can. Everyone loses under this type of lawlessness. So we must do now what we've always done as Americans. As good guys, speak out. No government agency has the right to attack its citizens with fear. We are the 5 million men and women of the National Rifle Association of America, leaders in the fight for freedom for all. Join us.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. And I'm going to take a quick call from Mike in Ann Arbor. Mike, welcome to the show. Your ears were burning, weren't they, Mike?
Yeah, I was just making dinner, and I heard my name mentioned. You wanted to know about storage of guns. First of all, I don't hide my guns at all. They're at home. And if they want to come and get me, you know, I'll be happy to welcome them at the door, you know.
You want Loretta Lynch to show up, don't you, Mike?
I'd love Loretta with her fat legs. God, did you ever see the size of those thighs and those calves? Oh, my God. You know,
if you're into that kind of thing.
Elephant would be considered skinny.
Wow. Mike.
Oh, she's knocking at the door. Okay.
She anyway, might be now.
Somebody wanted to know how to store them. Well, I can tell you how my friends back in Croatia and Bosnia are storing their guns. In Bosnia, there are a lot of caves, and I can tell you something right now. There are probably about 70 to 80,000 Kalashnikovs and probably 2 to 3 to 4 million rounds of ammunition that are in caves in Bosnia because they know what's going to happen. It's going to happen there again, by the way. Watch for it. In about 2 or 3 years, there's going to be a big, big blow-up in Bosnia. And these people realize that they've got to be armed. They are now a member of the EU. The Croatians are in Croatia, and of course they want to take the guns away. Well, our people are a little smarter this time. They're not going to be fighting with World War II or World War I equipment. They're going to be fighting with the newest stuff. The stuff is buried. A lot of graveyards have coffins in the ground, but there's no body in them. I can tell you what's in them, guns.
Right.
There are caves all over Croatia and Bosnia, and a lot of those caves have guns. They've got mortars. They've got anti-tank guns. They're ready for it. So from that standpoint, find yourself a place. If you've got a piece of property up north, get a coffin from your nearest funeral home, bury it down there, and put your ammo and stuff in there.
Have you seen the price of coffins, Mike, by the way? I'm just saying. Every time, you know what? When I die, cremate me and put me in a shoebox. I don't want anyone to spend a dime on a vase or a coffin or anything else. Just take my ashes and whip them into the Home Goods $5 vase. That's all I need.
Yeah, you could do that. But I can tell you something right now. The other day, I was on Bennett's show, and something and this came up about what's going on in Germany, and the people and the Germans are now scattering for guns. And I was talking to a friend of mine and friends who traffic in that kind of stuff back there in Croatia. And you can get a Kalashnikov if you're a German by going to Croatia, or you can go to Passau, Germany, which is just on the Inn River off of Austria, and they'll deliver you a Kalashnikov for 4 ounces of gold.
Wow.
And they'll give you 200 rounds of ammunition. If you want more ammo, it's going to cost you in gold. But the Germans are now coming to, you know, this is the funny part about it. We were getting weapons from them in 1991 to fight the Yugoslav army from Germany and things that we were paying. Now the Germans are buying it, so we're making a profit now selling it back to the Germans, but they are so desperate.
Yeah, because what's gold going for right now? $900 an ounce or
no,
something?
No, I think it's about $11 an ounce.
$1,100
an ounce?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so basically, that's a lot of money for a gun, baby.
$2,500 to $5,000 for a Kalashnikov.
Ugh, yeah.
You know, so that's really now what's happening there, and they're desperate. They are desperate. A friend of mine over there got rid of 25 Kalashnikovs.
Wow. Somebody's Mike, making money.
Do you know
the thing is, the people are desperate.
Yeah.
Do you know
they're desperate, and basically they've shut down the weaponry in there. The French, even some people from France are now coming over there trying to find anything. That whole area is loaded with weapons. The NRA would love Bosnia, and they'd love Croatia. That is gun heaven.
Mike, do you know how war can be avoided in the former Yugoslavia republics?
Oh, tell me how.
Soccer.
No. You want to start World War III and IV, that soccer is going to start it.
Yeah, so let me ask you, Mike, I want to get a little deep in the weeds here. You say in 2 or 3 years things are going to blow up again in Croatia and Bosnia. Now, what's going to blow up? Is it going to be Muslim and non-Muslim again?
No, what's happening right now, and this is something that I was told about 3 or 4 years ago to watch out, because right now what the part of Bosnia, which is Republika Srpska, this is where the Serbs live. It's about the size of, 3 times, 4 times the size of Long Island, okay? They are now wanting to break away from Bosnia-Herzegovina, and they want their own state of Republika Srpska. So next year, I believe that they're going to have a referendum, and this is going to cause a blow-up. And the people the guy that is supporting this is Putin. Putin was in Serbia about 4 or 5 months ago. They had their first military parade,
Larionov.
Yeah, Sergei. He was in Republika Srpska, and he is supporting the referendum. So what you're going to see is you're going to see a blow up. They're going to have a referendum. The Bosnian Muslims, our guys in Bosnia and Herzegovina, our portion of that part, that's why I say our people are armed. Because when that breakup occurs and Republika Srpska breaks away from Bosnia and Herzegovina, you are going to have a massive ethnic war. And that baby is going to spill over to Hungary. It's going to spill over into Macedonia. It's going to spill in Albania, Kosovo. That entire area is going to be a powder keg. I can tell you right now, Our people are armed with about 150,000 Kalashnikovs.
So are you saying it's going to break up and it'll go Muslim-Christian? Is that'll be the conflict?
Yeah, that's what's going to be the conflict.
That's a shame.
As far as we are concerned, as far as we Croatians are concerned, if they want to kill each other, they can go kill each other. We're going to protect our property, our land. I don't think the Serbs ever want to go against us again because we wiped their ass. We wiped their behinds, okay? It's going to be the Muslims in Bosnia that are going to be defending themselves, and this time they're going to have to defend themselves. We can't do it for them because we're going to protect our own territory. We learned a long, long, hard lesson, and we spent a fortune arming our people. We have about 150,000 men under arms in Croatia. They've got a top-notch military now, and as far as we're concerned, if you guys want to fight it out, you guys fight it out. We fought our war. We won our war. We're going to protect what's ours. But all I can say to anybody in this country is arm yourself to protect yourself, period. That's the best guarantee that you have. The Constitution of the United States is a wonderful piece of paper. It's a great document. But in today's world, in this country, it ain't worth a dime.
Hey, Mike, I've always been fascinated with Yugoslavia, the former Yugoslavia, and when Tito was in power, and I can't remember what year he died.
I spit on his name.
What's that?
I spit on his
name. Oh, because I was going to ask you your thoughts on that, and do you think that, well, I got my answer, I guess. I was going to say, when he was the strong man that kind of really put his boot down on these ethnic, and he was a Croat, Tito.
He was part Slovenian.
And he was a strong man that, I guess, didn't tolerate a whole lot of the...
He was a butcher.
So obviously you don't think that he, his dictatorship was overall good?
What he did at that point, the partisans and the communists at that point, they always wanted to have the union of southern Slavs. The problem was when Tito, and this was after the war, the people were tired. There was a tremendous amount of killing there. No Western army wants to fight in the Balkans. I can tell you that right now. The Germans don't want to fight there. The Russians don't want to fight there. The Americans would, the U.S. Army would run out of there. Those are people who fight. This is life and death, okay? And these are wars that have been going on for hundreds of years. So Tito came in at a perfect time because they were tired of war. But when he took over there, he turned it into a butcher camp. Later on in his life, he realized the mistake he had made, but it was too late. And when Milosevic came in and he went down into Kosovo to the plain of the Blackbirds, is what they call it, the Serbs, and he at that point decided that this was going to be a greater Serbia, this is when the entire Yugoslavia broke apart. They saw what was going to happen. They had traded one killer for another killer, and they were not about to live under Serb control anymore, neither the Croats, the Slovenians, the Macedonians, nor the Muslims in Bosnia. So as far as Tito was concerned, he kept the lid on for a while, but the way he did it, I can tell you something right now. He was as bad as Pol Pot was, and most Westerners don't realize that.
Yeah, I think a lot of us don't know because I always think about it. I wasn't paying as much attention back in those days as I do now to politics. So I'm oftentimes mystified when people talk about the Balkans because I don't seem to know what side was what and what was going on.
The way Tito was presented here, from what I remember growing up, was he's kind of this, he was head of the non-aligned nations at one point during the Cold War. He's fairly independent from the Soviets and the Russians, and so they don't care for him because they're always trying to, take control, and he's not tolerating it. So he was presented in the United States and the West, I think, is kind of this, he's not that bad of a communist.
Dictator. A benevolent dictator, a nice guy, but his hands were full of blood. And like I say, to a lot of us, when you mention Tito, people say to Tito, like I said, I spit on his grave. Yeah. I mean, I hate to say it about any dead person, but I personally spit on his grave. That man killed an awful lot of innocent people. He had a death march, and someday when I have the time, I'll tell you the death march from Bleiburg, Austria, where 300,000 people were butchered and murdered within a span of 45 days. And they were betrayed by the U.S. Troops and by the British troops. It was my people. 300,000 were butchered in a death march that Tito led. And so from that standpoint, his hands are bloody. And, nobody's clean in the Balkans.
Nobody.
We are not clean, nor are the Serbs. But that is one place you do not want to send your army because you're going to come back bloodied.
Okay. Well, thanks for the history, Mike. Appreciate it. And when we call back, we'll... We'll continue our discussion.
Who would have ever thought Tito Jackson had that much power in the band? Oh, wait a minute. It's not that
good. All right. We'll see you on the other side.
Wham! Talk 1600.
Hey, my blood brothers of freedom. This is Ted Nugent.
Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse.
God bless Ann Arbor and Wham! Radio. I started doing interviews on Wham! Radio around 1966. I celebrate and promote the God-given individual right as guaranteed in the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, for us to defend ourselves, to keep and bear arms. And just to make sure everyone understands what we the people understand, keep can only mean one thing. That's, it's mine and you can't have it.
Wham!
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. American prisoners released by Iran as Tehran and world powers prepare to carry out a landmark nuclear deal. One of the four U.S. citizens freed,
Amir Hekmati from Flint, Michigan. He was arrested on spying charges in August of 2011. He was on a visit to see his grandmother over there.
Fox's Shepard Smith says in 2012,
Iran sentenced him to death for a list of crimes, including alleged spying for the CIA. U.S. officials at the time denied the charges, called them politically motivated, and the sentence was later overturned.
A fifth American released in a separate swap is a student whose family says was there to study Farsi, the White House offering clemency to seven Iranians. Two Virginia men have been charged with terrorism offenses related to attempted travel to Syria to join ISIL, and California considering easing water conservation mandates for some cities and towns. Fox News, we report, you decide.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
In January, Salem Area Historical Society will be holding its monthly meeting on the fourth Wednesday of the month, January 27th, at the Salem Township Hall, 9600 6 Mile Road, starting at 6 p.m. This is the SAHS's annual potluck dinner meeting. All members are encouraged to attend. Memberships will be accepted at the event. Please bring a dish to pass, your own plates and flatware, and your drink. After the dinner, there will be the SAHS annual business meeting to recap the SAHS activities in 2015 and to present the path for 2016. This will be followed by a presentation on Henry Ford's Village Industries. There's a $2 donation suggested for non-Salem Area Historical Society members. The Tecumseh Center for the Arts is launching their new season. The 2015-2016 national touring season includes big band, comedy, electroluminescent puppetry, bluegrass, and children's music. Buy a Tecumseh Center for the Arts premier season ticket for $100, and you'll receive premier seating at each of the national touring season shows, plus Tecumseh Center for the Arts big band and vocal airs concerts, which is a $120 value. To learn more about the Tecumseh Center for the Arts national touring season, special events, the Black Box Summer Series, local presenters and groups, and the Tecumseh Pops Orchestra and Community Chorus and many other events, please call 517-423-6617 or you can visit thetca.org.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. Wham! Talk 1600. In touch with your community. You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And thank you for tuning in and joining us on The Drift this wonderful Saturday afternoon. Cold outside. Really cold.
Oh, yeah. It's supposed to get down to, like, close to zero tomorrow night.
I hate winter. But it's been a good winter, so I can't complain, right?
I've only shoveled twice.
Yes. Year. Well, I think three times for me. But first one was in November. That was a biggie. That was huge.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to complain. It's been a pretty good winter so far. I'm pretty happy about it. All right. Well, we were going to talk about the two naval boats. And if you've been going to the Daily Drift, I've got a whole bunch of information there. And it's a pretty amazing story. And putting my conspiracy hat on, number one, I'm thinking, because I heard a naval commander, a retired naval commander, saying, these two boats, and we've seen the pictures of the boats, are really shore coastline boats. They don't belong out in the middle of the Gulf. Why were they there? So he was kind of stoking that conspiracy. Why were they there? Why were they alone? Where was their support? Where was, you know, and it makes you think. We've got a lot of assets in that region. For these two boats, and it's not, you know, the Pentagon at first said these two boats were, it was a malfunction, mechanical malfunction, and they drifted into waters. And then afterward they said that was a GPS. Oh, come on, how do you have a GPS? Even if you're GPS on the boat, one of the boats or both boats go out. Nobody's got a GPS on their phone. You know, where's our AWACS plane? I'm sure there was an AWACS plane in the air, probably somewhere having the entire Gulf under surveillance. It just made me think, you know, did Barack send these guys in there to have them be rescued by the Iranians, to make the Iranians look good and humanitarian, you know? And if that's the case, did he get double backstabbed by the Iranians when they put the photos of the U.S. guys out there? Come on, Barack, if that was your plan, you didn't think they would take that opportunity? I mean, is that too big a conspiracy leap for me to make?
Well, I was going to say, too, you know, you're using GPS failure as plausible deniability. I mean, these guys would know as they're drifting closer to Farsi Island controlled by Iran. I would think the BO would be the signal to know that you're getting too close.
Oh, dude. I can smell the shawarma from here. We must be too close to Iranian waters. Let's get out.
Smell the shawarma from both ends from these guys.
Run away. Run away. Yeah, I mean, come on. It doesn't make a lick of sense. And there was one lady, Sunny, who does Ed Bondarenko, sent us a nice link to a this lady's thing, and she shows the pictures of the boat, and they were like pulled over, met by these tiny little skiffs. And I'm thinking to myself, you guys could have blown those little skiffs away. You could have drifted faster than they could have, and yet somehow these guys ended up in Iranian custody. And it just boggles my mind that the United States Navy would be so inept. I don't believe it. I cannot believe that our Navy would do this and this accident would happen. Yeah. There's just no way.
Well, if Obama's commander-in-chief, they're probably armed with rubber weapons.
So the guys get caught, and they get the pictures released and everything else, and of course they videotape, and the commander who was, let me pull up his name here.
Commander McBragg?
No, he's actually a lieutenant. And Lieutenant David Nartker is a 27-year-old Navy commander who graduated from the U.S. Naval Academy in 2011. And so he's no dummy, you know. He studied aerospace engineering. Really? So I find it a little hard to believe that he would not be able to navigate the Persian Gulf. Come on. Hello? It's not like it's the Arctic with shifting icebergs. It's the Persian Gulf. The same island has been there the entire time. So how did he really get lost? Well, we've got his apology, which now people are saying he's in trouble, but I find it hard to believe that the Obama administration would, you know, everything's okay in the military nowadays. How would they do this to this guy?
His new nickname is Wrong Way Feldman, as seen on Gilligan's Island.
Derek, you got that tracked. Let's listen to the apology.
نظامی آمریکایی دیشب در جزیره فارسی در جای مناسبی نگه داشته شدند.
It was a mistake. That was our fault, and we apologize for our mistake. The Iranian behavior was fantastic while we were here. We thank you very much for your hospitality and your assistance.
میگه که برخورد ایرانی‌ها با ما خیلی خوب بود. واقعا دست و در نکنیم. ما سپاسگزاریم. تشکر می‌کنیم از برخوردی که با ما داشتند.
مشکل خاصی نبود.
Didn't have a special problem.
We had no problem, sir.
No problems. So, no mechanical failures. They obviously were treated fairly well, other than the fact that they were forced to kneel, put their hands behind their bed so I can get a photo op, and throw a hijab on the one female who was there. I guess we should consider ourselves lucky that she didn't get accosted in some fashion, right? But it just, the whole thing smells fishy. I almost didn't want to go there, but it just reeks. There's something bad in Denmark going on with this whole two boats being caught there. Doesn't that make sense to you?
It does.
Yeah. Let's take a quick call from Jenny, who wants to talk. Jenny's got an issue with podcasts, maybe. Jenny, welcome to the show. What can I help you with?
Hey, Gary. I just wanted to know, I don't have an iPhone, but I do have a cell phone, and I have some data I can use.
Okay.
So if I go to dailydrift.com, what do I do to get to listen to your podcast?
There's five sliding windows at the top of the Daily Drift, and one of them is the Common Sense Radio slider. And if you click on that, it will give you every show we've ever done here, all the way back to 2011, maybe? I don't know, like 4.5 years. There's a whole lot of shows there. I think we did our 200th show a long time ago, and we never celebrated, did we?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's because you're a cheapskate. So,
cake and tea for everybody.
Those ones that you do in the morning and stuff.
The ones I do in the morning, the little podcasts in the morning, those are, if you go to the AIN slider, which is like two or three over, and it'll take you to Mixler.com, and then I've got those little podcasts I do for, you know, 5 to 15, 20 minutes in the morning. Now, bear in mind, a couple days ago, Jenny, I was...
Are those when you're sitting on the toilet?
No, I actually broadcast driving? Live while I'm driving to work in the morning. So you'll catch them.
The
audio quality is not the greatest, but it's there. But Jenny, put your earmuffs on, because a couple of mornings ago, I'm FCC free in the mornings. And so I was mad as mad could be. You want to talk about wearing the mantle of anger? Man, I was angry. And so there's a little foul language.
You were
in
not
going to
take
so
it anymore.
I apologize if you listen to that.
Oh, well.
Yeah. But I was hot.
Okay. I'll try it. I don't know if it's real visual. I don't know if my phone will do it for me, but
well,
I'll
if worst case scenario, you can go to Mixler.com, Mixlr.com, and then type in the space daily space drift, and it'll take you to my page there as well, and you can
okay.
I think I got about 110 podcasts on there for that too.
Yeah. So. Oh, okay.
Okay.
Mixlr. Okay.
Mixlr. And, yep.
Because if I say too much about what you just talked about, I'm going to have some foul language, because I don't. This was nuts. I can't stand this apology crap.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's nonstop. Yeah,
it's
too.
It's terrible.
7.5 years.
And John Kerry comes out and thanks the Iranians for what?
Oh,
for putting our guys on their knees
break.
With their thing with their hands behind their head?
Yeah, okay, I'm done. I can't deal with it.
All right, Jenny, thanks. I appreciate it.
Okay, thanks for your help.
All right, you got it. Take care. All right, so yeah, I mean, just I've been angry. I'm getting angry. This was a tough week for me. It really was. When I think about, you know, we have the finest fighting force in the world, and Barack said this at the State of the Union, we have the finest fighting force in the world. Yes, we do, but you treat them like garbage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what was the sense of having these? I'm telling you, there's a conspiracy there, and I don't care what anybody says, and I think Barack got his hat handed to him. You know what I mean? Let's see who's online. Who's that online to? Walter? Walter, is that you?
Hey, man.
Hey, what's going on, Walter?
Hey, man. Hey, just to back up what you just said about Barack Osama. What would it be called? What is it better to call him Barack Abomination?
yes, Obamination, yes.
Yeah, he's been abomination in our country lately. But anyways, all the lies that's been pouring out this week, you know, from him addressing the country like a big lecturer, as you usually come across. And it's amazing to me how this man gets away with his serial lies. In fact, I think he's lied more than Satan himself.
Well, maybe he is Satan, Walter.
Oh, speaking of that, I'm not interested.
Satan! There's a church lady
speaking
in there. Where is she?
Hit it, Pearl.
Speaking of that, don't get me going on that one. You know, you remember that Bible series, I'm not in conspiracy theories, but I do agree with you guys about Barack setting this thing up with our Navy.
I have to, Walter. There's just no way. We have the finest naval fleet in the world. There's no way this was an accident. I'm sorry. I'm not buying it. I won't buy it. Something was going on here. These guys were ordered out there, and it doesn't make a lick of sense. Don't tell me we didn't have air support within minutes to help those guys if they were lost. You know what I mean? No, I don't want to hear about the lost contact. Two boats. Two boats lose GPS. Two boats lose communications. I'm not buying it.
It's like a mini Benghazi. 13 hours. This was what? 3 days?
Don't know. Don't know. What else you got, Walter?
But it's amazing to me. Have you guys noticed, man, anybody would be quite asleep if they didn't notice that this man been in office. All types of weird stuff has been happening.
Oh, yeah. You know? 7 years of weird stuff.
He's fulfilling his, he's getting his civilian army together. By the way, what I mean by his civilian army, that's why he's been attacking our guns. He don't care nothing about who gets killed. Unless it's babies. You don't care nothing. Or, no, he doesn't care about the babies. So how can he give a rip about one person getting killed through a gun? And all this crime was deception. I heard that from one talk show person that he might have wiped some stuff up on some kind of powder or some kind of seasoning up on his eye to make it look like he was truly crying. Because they say he wiped his eyes before any tears came out.
Yeah, it was probably Vicks. A little fix on my eye there. Yeah, I looked at one of those pictures, too, when I saw that, and I said, yeah, it looks a little thick and shiny to be a tear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think Tonya Harding was called in to advise him.
Tonya. Man, you guys are good comedians, too. You had me cracking up. But guess what? But anyway, he's trying to get, he's going after our guns because he want to get his Muslim family over here. Once they get our guns from us, they can kill us all off. I mean, I know that sounds kind of extreme, but that's why he's so hell-bent in getting our guns so he can become the dictator that he want to be anyway. I don't put nothing past the man. And speaking of the devil, you notice in that series that was on TV called The Bible?
Yes.
You guys hear about that guy that played the devil that tempted Jesus in the wilderness?
No. What happened?
He was an actor. Roma Downey's, he was one, I guess she produced the movie.
Yeah.
It was about 2 or 3 years ago. And it was circulating around. By the way, the guy that played that part in that movie, when you see that guy in person, and I saw him in a magazine without the makeup on, he looked totally different. But lo and behold, when he put that makeup on, guess who he looked just like?
Oh, I saw that. I saw that on Facebook somewhere. He looked like Barack Obama with the hood over his head. Yeah, I remember. Yeah, I saw that. I don't know if that's true or not, Walter, but boy, I tell you what, yeah, I hear you. What else you got, Walter? I think we got a whole bunch of phone lines going on.
Hey, real quick, Walter, I'm looking forward to when Obama leaves office, like for a lot of reasons, obviously, but when he does leave office, I'm hoping TMZ follows him around. That could be entertaining.
All right. Well, thanks, Walter. Make sure you call us again next week.
Oh, yeah, let me say this real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Have you guys been hearing about the new phenomenon of a lot of blacks saying they will vote for Donald Trump?
Are you hearing that on your end?
Listen, man, I'm out in the real world. Some of these talk show people, some of them out of touch. I'm not saying you guys are out of touch. I think you're out in the real world, in the marketplace. Real, when you really get down to it, this is what I'm hearing from blacks themselves, straight from the horse's mouth. I'm a truck driver, and I drive in a lot of northern suburbs of Michigan.
Yeah.
And I could just randomly be talking. Hey, man, I can ask a question, man. So what you think about Donald Trump? You know, I'm trying to fill them out. And they say, I said, what you think what he said about the Muslims? He said, no more Muslims should be let over in this country. Man, I agree with what he said. Man, that's right. But a lot of them, for some reason, seem to cling to him. And I would think they would have clinged more to their brother. You know, the brother, you know, brother, what's the nickname we give him? One that needs to wake up out of his coma. Ben Carson.
Rip Van Carson.
They cling to him, but they can relate more to Donald Trump because they feel that Donald Trump has a more personal touch with them, and they can relate to him.
Well, that Walter, and the fact that
needs and everything else.
Yeah, that and the fact that, you know what, he wants to close down immigration, and you know what, it's this constant legal and illegal immigration that's hurting the poorest members of our community, and that's a big part of the black population in the inner cities as well. Those people are fighting for jobs. And you know what? When you bring in illegal immigrants and even legal immigrants, you're making more competition. It's making it harder for those of us who are low-skilled to get jobs. And I don't understand why people can't understand that simple fact. You have a small amount of jobs, and you're increasing the number of people fighting for them. That's screwing everybody. It doesn't matter what color you are. If you are low income or a low skilled position, you're fighting for those jobs. And all they're doing, Republicans and Democrats, is making it worse and harder for our low skilled people to get jobs, and our kids even. So, I agree with you. Well, when you're out there, Walter, tell those people to tune into the show. We'd love to hear from them as well.
I sure will. I tell them about Patriot. I tell them about you guys. And one more thing. As far as the Muslims go, as far as I'm concerned, they can throw every last one of them out of this country. No let none in. And the ones in here need to go because they're going to continue the cause of the Democratic Party because that's exactly who they're going to vote for.
Yep. Yeah, I hear you. All right. Thanks, Walter. Appreciate it. All right. Let's talk to Ed, who wants to talk about the boat problems. Ed from Ipsy. Go ahead, Ed. What do you got?
Hey, Gary. Well, one, burying guns in the ground, PVC, large diameter PVC tube. Very simple. Done all the time.
Just seal it up and stick it underground, and it'll keep it dry, I guess, right?
Yep, exactly. You can put some desiccant in there if you like, but it's an accepted practice.
Okay.
Two, whenever I saw the words SOGU, for some reason I got dyslexic and read STFU. I wonder why that is.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I tuned in a little late, and I couldn't watch it but 20 minutes of that. It really was. It was like Alice in Wonderland. The man was so out of touch with reality, I just couldn't. I couldn't handle any more of it. It was complete and utter garbage.
Alternate universe stuff.
Yes.
So on the boats, it has occurred to me, we use submarines normally to deposit people who shouldn't be in other countries when we want them there. Navy SEAL types, operatives. It just occurs to me that the only way you would get some loyal troops to go through this would be for something greater, okay? And it's something that they would be told they had to do, and there may have been more than 10 people on those boats before they were captured.
Do you think this was a diversion to use an SDV, swimmer delivery vehicle, I believe the SEALs use, to do something covert?
I don't know. It just occurred to me. That's all.
That's feasible.
No knowledge.
Yeah.
Don't know. Just an idea.
Well, I'm glad I'm not the only conspiracy guy out there, because I got to tell you, I don't buy it. You know, I would like to believe that this was a diversion and that we got something out of it. You know, besides the nasty photo op for the Iranians, but you know, something is not smelling right to me. You know, who knows? You know, another thought that always occurs to me is we put a Stuxnet virus on the computers on the boats, and the Iranians quickly downloaded everything they could, and now they've got the Stuxnet, you know, or whatever.
Right.
We put itching powder on the steering wheel.
When you see the size of the Boston Whalers in that picture I sent you, something doesn't add up.
Exactly right, Ed. That's exactly right. And that was a great link, too. The Daily Sunny, is that lady's name? She's on the ball.
She's
like
hilarious.
Her.
Sunny Loman.
Yeah. Yeah. What else you got, Ed? Anything?
I have known Walter for years, okay? Went to his kid's graduation last year. I like Walter. Don't get me wrong. We're friends. But when Walter says a bunch of his black friends are willing to vote for Trump, I get concerned. You know, I'm thinking, well, this is the same group that voted for Obama.
Well, hold on, man. I'm telling you what. I'm a Cruz Trump guy. I'm going to go either one of them. I know you and I will always disagree on that. Who are you voting for anyway? Is that
Cruz.
Are you a Cruz guy?
I am pretty much a Cruz guy. I don't know if he's electable, but I hate to see the argument or hear the argument that we're going to support Trump because everybody else is. And I've heard that a few times. On the radio, you know, like, oh, well, Trump's the guy because he's going to get it, so I'm supporting Trump.
Yeah, but I don't think...
Well, why don't we support the guy we want, the guy that looks...
Ed, I don't think Walter was making that point at all. I think he was just asking people, you know, along his route.
It wasn't
that he had an agenda to say, well, they're going to vote for him. He was making the claim that people he talked to are going to vote for Trump just because everybody else is. I think they like what he's saying.
No. I wasn't... No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry it looked like I was saying that. Just separately. No, I'm just hearing people say, oh, it sounds like Trump's inevitable. I'm going to support Trump. I'm not saying Walter.
I've never heard that once.
Yeah, I've not heard that either. I mean, I like Trump, and I will vote for Trump. You know, am I going to vote for Cruz or Trump on our primary? I'm going to make that decision as I get real close because I'm watching. I do have the same concern with you about Ted Cruz. You know what? I think he's the most constitutional, most conservative guy for the office. However, I have that same issue you do. Is he electable? Is he going to be able to cross party lines and get independents and Reagan Democrats and those kind of people in there? And I'm not sure it's because he's a bad guy. It's because he's been painted so badly by the media for the last, I don't know, 4 years that a lot of people, even Republicans I know, don't like Ted Cruz. You know, these are the kind of establishment guys that are so anti-Cruz that they won't vote for him. They're going to stay home. You know what I mean? So I don't know that Cruz has got the ability to pull the conservatives, the libertarians, the Reagan Democrats together. I just don't know he's got the electability issue. So I'm thinking the same way as
you. And Trump is definitely a large part of it, in my opinion. Just my opinion is a protest vote. And Ted Cruz, I don't think, is going to get a protest vote.
Yeah,
I would agree.
I would agree. I think a lot of your blue-collar union guys won't vote for Ted Cruz. But bet your bottom dollar they'll vote for Donald Trump.
Still, Trump is better than Hillary, no matter what's his face.
Yes.
The guy said the other day on paper.
Yeah. Hey, Ed, what do you think about this? I meant to ask Mike this because I knew I'd get a good reaction. What do you think about a Hillary Loretta Lynch ticket.
Oh, man.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Do you feel queasy?
Don't smoke crack.
What are you smoking anyhow?
All right, Ed. Thanks very much. Call us again.
All right. Later.
Take care.
Let's think about this real quick. Loretta Lynch is being forced maybe from some sectors to prosecute Hillary, right? You know, as Attorney General.
Yes.
And then a deal is made like, okay, you put me on the ticket. I go easy on you. This thing kind of just falls apart. The prosecution, get me on the ticket. It's quid pro quo, lady.
Yeah. Well, there you go. If we
show
can get
me
to
your
that,
quid, I'll give you a pro.
We're going to run out of time to do it, but let's get Ken on the line. Wants to talk about use of foul language. Ken, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I'd like to touch on two issues if you give me a quick time.
Yeah, go ahead. We got a few minutes left.
Okay, first I want to say that in the primary and even in the general, Donald Trump is getting my vote. And the reason why, now, I do not think he's a conservative.
He's not, yeah. Well, but, he's not as conservative as many of us like, yes.
Yeah, but I believe he's a patriot. And here's the reason why I'm voting for Donald Trump. We are at war, people. We are at war. And what I'm looking at is that number one job of the president is the commander-in-chief. And what I'm looking at a commander-in-chief, I think that Donald Trump is a patriot. And I do believe he loves our country. And when I want someone to protect my country, I want Trump because I think that he's the strongest of those running for president in filling that position as the commander-in-chief. And I've looked at people who've endorsed Trump, not directly as far as him as a candidate for president, but his patriotism.
Ken, I totally agree with you, and he vocalizes it very well. Now, we don't have enough time. I was going to try to work this into the show, but I read an article, and it was from the Daily Beast. I know a lot of people think it's a left-wing rag, and I just happened to come across this headline, so I read the article. And the article was about all of these officers at, you know, colonel and generals and admirals are supposedly going to resign or retire if Trump is elected. They're saying that they don't agree with him, they don't like him, blah, blah, blah. And this was this, of course, this writer based on his conversations with people when he's at the Pentagon. What do you think about something like that? Do you think there's some legitimacy to that, or do you think it's just a bunch of left-wing garbage?
Well, one thing we have to remember is most of the people that are now currently in the Pentagon are put in there by Obama.
Yep.
Because the fact is, we have to remember, Obama went through and cleared out the good soldiers, those who were patriotic,
yep,
and put in his stooges.
Mm-hmm.
And there again, what we have to look at is we're fighting a war, even though our government doesn't want to admit it. And people want to bring up all these other issues about, well, Trump's not conservative on this, and Trump's not conservative on that. But people realize if we lose the war, all these other things don't matter.
Yep, exactly. What's your second point, Ken? We're going to run out of time.
The second point,
here,
as far as use of foul language, we've got to try to avoid that. Because of the fact that, we want to always speak the truth on everything that's happening, but we always want to make sure that we come across as level-headed.
Yeah, takes away the credibility. I hear you.
Yeah, especially if it's overused.
Yep.
Well, all right. You guys take care.
Thanks, Ken.
Happy
you too.
New Year.
You too,
take
Ken.
Care. Happy New Year's.
I say all those officers that supposedly this guy talked to say they'll resign or retire. I say, good riddance.
Yes.
We don't need you. But yep, the article also said, like, the corporals and the sergeants, those kind of people, they're very fired up about Trump.
Yep. Yeah. All right, until next week, go to thedailydrift.com. Stay informed and be ready to talk.
Take it easy.
See you next week.